Our next story is about a seemingly basic question.
Did you hear that?
Hear what? Hey, y'all hear that?
Did you hear that?
I heard that, I understood it, but how? Reporter Tanya English wanted to find out, so she met with a scientist at the University of Pennsylvania in their department of otorhinolaryngology, that's ear, nose, and throat for the rest of us. So here's what Tanya found out from researcher Maria Geffen.
Sound is basically vibrations, pressurized vibrations of the air. In the case of speech, they're produced by our vocal cords. If I clap my hands, you can imagine this almost physical vibration in the air.
Maria Geffen says scientists already understand very well the mechanics of hearing. They know how the ear converts sound waves into electrical pulses. Say the word hot.
Hot.
And that sends
hot.
Sound waves hot. Traveling hot. To your eardrums.
Hot.
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 It's hot.
Not too hot.
But what's really interesting to Geffen is the next step. Given all the different accents and background noises and speaking rates, how is it that we extract meaning from that sound?
How does the brain then, once it sees the signal, the series of zeros and ones, this electrical impulses, how does it then put it back together into hearing actually the words? And that's what my laboratory is trying to solve.
Geffen's team uses the chirps and trills of rats as a proxy for human speech. The researchers play the calls, then monitor the lab animal's brain activity as cells called neurons begin to fire.
You can think of them as kind of a set of Christmas lights where they just go on and off, and you can almost see this lights travel.
Maybe you've heard these kind of squawks and shrieks from a rat before. But in Geffen's lab, she works with the ultrasonic chatter that rats use when they're talking amongst themselves. To play that chatter for us, Geffen slows down the song to drop the pitch into a human hearing range.
So all of these vocalizations were recorded while two male adolescent rats were engaged in friendly play. But we don't know what exactly they mean. Is that kind of like one rat is saying, let's go play together. And the other rat says, oh, okay.
The scientists train the animals by playing the calls and at the same time asking the rats to do specific tasks, maybe poke a nose left or poke a nose right.
If they do that reliably, then we can actually say, oh, they heard this sound or they heard that sound.
And those sounds come to mean something. The scientists watch for patterns in the neurons. Put another way, they measure how and where the Christmas lights light up.
And then we can tell, well, do those neurons matter or do those neurons not matter for their perception? Without understanding how our brain does that, we cannot build better hearing aids or to improve the design of cochlear implants.
In her lab, besides rat songs, Geffen also works with nature sounds. We hear this, and she says we all think water. And more precisely, we think gurgling brook.
We know mathematically what is it within the sound waveform that makes it sound like the brook or not.
Next, Geffen plays with that knowledge. She takes the same recording of the babbling brook, but this time strips out the signal that makes the brain think water.
That doesn't really sound like anything. Maybe static noise on the TV.
The scientists also add that particular sound property that Geffen has isolated to create a completely man-made sound.
You can make my brain think that I'm listening to gurgling water.
That's right. That made all the difference in you hearing this as an artificial sound or a gurgling water brook. And what we'll find is, yes, a bunch of neurons are sensitive to those water sounds. But that's not gonna tell us how is it that sensitivity comes about.
Geffen and her team are just beginning to crack that code. For The Pulse, I'm Tanya English.